truth without love isn't truth. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life with Steve Brown, a program designed to make a positive difference in your daily life. Now open your Bible and let's go to it. Steve?
Thank you, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Micah as we continue with our Old Testament survey. And I'm a tour director. I'm picking out my favorite verses, and it is my program. I can do that. I sound like Rush Limbaugh. And I'm just taking you on a tour through the book of Micah and showing you some important things in these few chapters that reveal themselves to me and that I like when I read the book of the prophet Micah. Yesterday we saw that God was pretty scary. Now you need to know that Micah is not just a prophet of judgment. He doesn't just take God's word and beat people over the head with it. He brings a message that is really scary and in fact took place. But he also is a prophet of hope. If you have a prophet in your pulpit who does nothing but condemn and you don't ever feel hopeful and you don't ever hear about grace and you don't hear about love, you need to pray for that person. You need to go talk to that person because that's not the full message of God. God is scary, but he's kind and he's gracious and he's good. And if you go to him on the basis of what Christ has done on the cross, you have nothing to fear and he'll never be angry at you the way he is angry in the book of Micah. But this is dealing with a theocracy, with some really dangerous stuff, and God is judging his people. And we talked about that yesterday. And then I want, that's Micah's unromanticized God. Now, I want to show you something that, you know, we don't know a lot about Micah. We know he's from the country and stuff like that. But let me tell you something that I found out about him. If you have your Bible, open it to Micah 1, and I'm going to start reading at the 8th verse. Now, if you were listening yesterday, Micah has just delivered some very, very harsh judgment to both the northern and the southern kingdoms. And then in the 8th verse, we began to see something about the prophet Micah himself. Therefore, I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the jackals and a mourning like the ostriches. Who's Micah talking about? He's talking about himself. Listen to this. For her wounds are incurable. Do you hear the pathos in that? For it has come to Judah. It has come to the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. Now, Micah is showing something about God, but he's also showing something about himself, and that is the great compassion that he feels for the people to whom he brings the message of judgment. I was a pastor for a lot of years, and I don't miss being a pastor a lot. I do miss some things. I miss teaching the same people week after week, and month after month and year after year, and being able to together study God's Word. Now, we do that on Key Life, but it's different because I can't look you in the eye. And we can't sit down and talk about it all the time after I've taught it. So I miss that part of it, the pulpit ministry of being a pastor. And I miss being allowed to come into the hearts of people. People tell me secrets, and I will bear those secrets to my grave. I just want you to know that. People have said things to me that they would never say to anybody else. And being a pastor means there's a high and holy privilege of listening to people and listening to their secrets and doing it the way Jesus does it without being manipulative or angry or judgmental. And that's a high and holy privilege. And I miss the fellowship of pastors, by the way. That's one of the reasons we're going to have the Poop Pastors Conference in January. By the way, that's the 23rd through the 25th. If you haven't paid for your pastor to come, if you're a pastor and you haven't sent in your application form or given us a call or check out the webpage or gotten a brochure, let us know, because that's going to be a cool time. It's going to be sort of like heaven, where we hang around with pastors and we tell war stories. Now these are not weenie pastors. I'm talking about real pastors who have dirt under their fingernails, who are doing it and getting wounded and still loving and still caring. And when I think about a pastor, I sometimes think about Micah. You see it in his heart here. You see it in his wailing and his mourning. You see that he cares. when I was a pastor, because I taught the Bible the way I teach it to you. I just went through books of the Bible, and sometimes I would say, Lord, I can't say that. That's pretty harsh. I know 8 people, they're going to die of a coronary when I teach this verse, because they're going to think I'm talking about them. God would always say, I am talking about them, and go ahead and speak it. And at that time, my concern was often for those people that I knew that this was going to be painful to. And I got that from Micah. Micah was exactly the same way. Let me tell you something. It's a principle. Never speak truth and condemn until you can feel love. Never speak truth until you can feel love. It's an old Methodist story, and you've probably heard it, about the bishop who finally, after the church had complained forever about the pastors he was sending to that church, they said they wanted a pastor who was strong, who believed the Bible, who believed in the doctrine of hell. So finally, the bishop sent him a pastor who was straight as an arrow, believed every word of the Bible, and believed in hell. About 6 months into his ministry there, they called the bishop and said, you got to send us another one. He said, What do you mean you want me to send you another one? I sent you the kind of pastor you want, and he's a pastor who believes the Bible, who believes in the doctrine of hell. And the head of the official board said, well, I know he believes in hell, and he preaches it. But he preaches it like he's glad. That's not truth. Truth without love isn't truth. It's just anger. So never speak truth until you can feel love. Truth spoken without love is just visceral stuff. And, I suspect that Micah was saying, Lord, I can't say this to these people. Lord, they're your people. Remember, that's what Paul said when he was praying for the Jews. He said, Lord, I'd be willing for you to take my salvation away if you would bring salvation to your ancient people. You find it everywhere. You find Paul's broken heart when he's writing to his people, when he's writing to the Corinthians, and they're a bunch of wild turkeys. I mean, we don't even have all the letters to the book of Corinthians, and if I do this New Testament survey, we'll talk about that. But Paul writes a letter, and then we lose the second letter, and the people at Corinth are really upset and uptight about him. And you can see his broken heart in that. He's saying, I don't want to say these things to you, but I've got to say them. You know, when I think about God, and Freud was right in a sense, I think in some ways about my father. I think about his unconditional love and his kindness to me. You know, my father spanked me twice, that was all. And I deserved it twice a day. But in all the time I was growing up, my father only spanked me twice. Now, let me tell you about him. On both of those occasions, you hear those fathers say, son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. That's a lie. Then don't do it, because I wouldn't hurt you, Dad, at all. My father never said that, but when he spanked me, he wept. When he spanked me, when he disciplined me, he wept. And when I think about God, I think about that, because he chastens too. And when I think about Micah, I think about somebody who goes to God's people and say, guys, this is going to be really hard. You've done some really bad stuff, and God's not going to mess around with you. But notice the wailing and the mourning from the book of the prophet Micah. Well, let me mention something else to you. Go to Micah 2:3-7. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks, nor shall you walk haughtily, for this is an evil time. Now, let me tell you something. You've got a God there that you can't get away from. I mean, that's what Micah is saying. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising a disaster from which you cannot remove your necks. There's a wonderful poem by Cheney, God is No Fool. Let me read it to you. You know what? It is about TV. You can turn it off, click, just like that. You know what? Is it about doors? You can close them, slam, just like that. You know what? Is it about people? You can leave them, turn and walk away, just like that. You know what? Is it about books? You can quit them, close the covers, just like that. You know what? It's about God. You can't do anything about him. He's there. Just like that. And then the final line is the most profound. the deepest, the most sophisticated of this wonderful classical poem. How do you like them apples? God is God. Now, I want you to note also in those verses, let me read on and go through the seventh verse. In that day, one shall take up a proverb against you and lament with bitter lamentation and say, we are utterly destroyed. He has changed the heritage of my people, how he has removed it from me to a turncoat. He has divided our fields. Therefore, you will have no one to determine boundaries by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Do not prattle, prophesy, so that you shall not prophesy to you. They shall not return insult for insult. You who are named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord restricted? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? Now, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, but the thing that's going on here is historical and it's national. Do you know that the world has known 21 civilizations, and out of those 21 civilizations, 14 have already disappeared? Do you know why? Because God was through with them. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, if you don't have the Fall magazine, I'd love to send it to you. I wrote an article about how to be Christmas to the world. It's an article on our witness to the world. And Pete Allinson, my pastor, wrote an article, as the men of the church go, so goes the church. There's a question and answer column. There are a lot of resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. And it's free. Just let me know. 1-800-KEY-LIFE. You can call that 24 hours a day or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. When I say it's free, I mean that. But that does not mean that I'll turn down a contribution. In fact, I would solicit your financial support for this ministry. I realize that all of you can't do it. But pray about it. And if God calls you to do it, be as generous as you can, because you help so many people to whom we send bunches of free stuff. You help your brothers and sisters in Christ. And listen, for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the Christmas Meditations booklet on CD with me reading it with music. You're going to love it. And I'll send that along as my thank you. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.